Welcome to 24/7 World Radio Podcast of Eric John Phelps with Reformation Bible Puritan Baptist Church, the Elder Bishop, Pastor Teacher, and today is my Sunday sermon, as it has to do with certain heretics that have decimated the church, the body of Christ. And one of the heretics, actually the foremost heretic I'll be dealing with today, is Billy Graham. Billy Graham is absolutely the most devastating and the worst of the heretics of the 20th century. He ran with the papacy and all of its agents for his entire adult life as he was quote-unquote a minister of the gospel and 33rd degree Freemason and also a leader and a participant in the JFK assassination, which no one will ever tell you except maybe me. There may be others who have said it, but I prove it. Along with Carl McIntyre, that apostate Protestant Presbyterian, and these other wimpy, gimpy, gutless Protestant ministers and Baptist ministers who are afraid to cross swords with the devil's Roman papacy, used by Satan to ultimately bring the final Pope of Rome to power, who will be slain with a sword, Revelation 13:14, rise from the dead, the Lord will raise him from the dead, then to be the Antichrist, the man of sin, the beast, for 3.5 years. That's where all of this is going. No matter what detail you get involved in, this is the forest. So, today will be a topic having to do with the heretics and heresies that have destroyed the church, the body of Christ, in America, North America, which would include Canada too. So Mexico, Central America, South America has already been conquered. They're all Roman Catholic for that matter. There's some dear brethren there that are Bible believing. In fact, some of them came up here and started their own Hispanic churches nearby. And I thought, well, you know, if these white people aren't going to do it at church anymore, maybe the Lord's given the buildings of these white people to the Hispanics coming up here. And so, hey, Lord's no respecter of persons. You want to serve him, he'll bless you. You don't want to serve him, he won't bless you. That's kind of the theme of the white race Protestant Baptist peoples for the last 100 years in America. So, today we're going to be reading a certain verses. The first we'll start out with 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and following. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. We don't have any prophets today. They're gone. They ceased when the scripture was completed in with the book of the Revelation, with the Apostle John, in like 95 or so. But we do have false teachers. And these false teachers would be among us, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies. Not just heresies, but damnable heresies. Even denying the Lord that bought them. Anybody who denies the Lord bought them, that he is the Redeemer, that he is the one who made reconciliation not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world, 2 Corinthians 5. Anybody that denies he's the Redeemer is not saved. If you believe that damnable heresy that the Lord Jesus Christ is not the one who purchased mankind, and especially purchasing his elect, if you don't believe that and he purchased with his own blood, you are not saved. And you believe a heresy that will facilitate your trip to hell and then ultimately, after the great white throne judgment, to the lake of fire. So all of you that are not saved, you're going to die, that's a surety. You're going to go to hell, that's a surety. And you're going to be tormented there for however long it takes for the Lord to terminate and his 1,000-year millennial reign. And then after that, you're going to be brought up out of there with a resurrection body. You're going to be judged at the great white throne judgment. And then he's going to give you the degree of the lake of fire that you deserve, determined by your works. So, life, death, hell, great white throne, and lake of fire. That is the life of the vast majority of people who've ever lived. But not so for us who are saved. We've been spared the lake of fire. We've been spared the great white throne judgment. We've been spared suffering for our sins. We've been spared not being forgiven. So thank God we are saved. What a great word to be saved. So we read here in verse 1 again. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Well, that's right. You see, they could have believed, but they won't. Don't you tell me that I believe in free will. I believe man has the ability to believe the gospel in and of his own self, but no man ever will. Coupled with the fact that they're blinded by the God of this world, 2 Corinthians 4:4. Lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine unto them. But all men have the ability to believe, and that's why God holds all men accountable for not believing. And furthermore, he holds men accountable for not seeking him, because he has this marvelous creation that shows, that bespeaks of the marvelous creation of God, which should engender a response in mankind. Who created this? Who's the creator of this fantastic solar clock and day and night and day and seasons and what have you? Who created this? Who created the DNA? Who created the body to function as it does? Who created the interface of the animals with each other? I mean, who created all this wonderful, tremendous synergy of what obviously is, mathematically speaking, a creation? But unsaved men don't want to ask the question. They don't seek God. Don't want anything to do with him. And so, one of the judgments of that is the Lord sends these men heresies, heretics. You hate me, you hate my son, you don't want to believe in my son's virgin birth, the Lord Jesus Christ, born in the city of Bethlehem. Okay, you don't want to believe that? Well then, you don't want to believe my scriptures, Isaiah 7:14. Don't want to believe Genesis 3:15, a woman shall have a seed, and the seed shall bruise the head of the seed of the serpent. You don't want to believe in virgin birth there? By the way, the classic work on the virgin birth is the virgin birth in the Old Testament by David Feinberg. He was the president of Talbot Theological Seminary years ago. You want to get it. Is the virgin birth in the Old Testament? He shows you there are three passages, Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 7:14, and one more in Jeremiah chapter 30 thereabouts. But these heretics deny the virgin birth, okay? And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So they deny the virgin birth. For Christ to be the Redeemer, he has to be born of a virgin. He's born outside of the condemnation of Adam. He's not in Adam. He's in the likeness of Adam, but he's not in Adam. He was immortal. If he wouldn't have laid down his life 2,000 years ago, he'd still be alive. Why? Because he was virgin born. He never inherited a sinful, fallen nature from his mother or his alleged father. Of course, Joseph had nothing to do with Mary until after she gave birth to her firstborn son. Then Christ had at least another four more brothers and two more sisters, according to Matthew 13. No, she wasn't a perpetual virgin, my Roman Catholic friends. No. Not according to the Bible, Matthew 13. So we see, and many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you. Yeah. They're going to abuse you. They're going to make merchandise of you. They're going to buy and sell you. They're going to try to take your money. They're going to deceive you into buying their products. And it goes on and on. Whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. These people are damned. They are condemned into the damnation of the lake of fire in a future day. And the ones who facilitate this in fulfilling the counsel of God are God is using these false teachers, these heretics, to further his mystery of godliness, while Satan's using them for his mystery of iniquity. the Lord working all things together after the counsel of his will. He takes everything, whether it be that which he caused or that which he permitted or that which he answered in the prayers of his people. He takes everything and works it out to the fulfillment of his counsel. So we're not surprised of all these heretics. We're not surprised of all these heretics that deny the Reformation Bible. I want to suck you into using some perversion, the American Standard perversion. They don't want you to use that. They don't want you to use the AV 1611. They want you to use anything but. They want you to use this Westcott and Hort trash. It was aided and abetted by Carlo Cardinal Martini, the Jesuit, in the NIV council there. They want to get you to depart from the Word of God to some other book that they call the Bible. That's a heresy. And that heresy has overtaken the vast majority of Protestant churches and Baptist churches. And there are a few Baptist churches that hold to the King James. They go to the extreme as you can't clarify it, which is another extreme, which further reduces their power, because if you read the translator's preface, the King James, it will tell you that there are places that need to be clarified or even corrected. Yeah. That's what they said. Based upon the underlying Textus Receptus and true Masoretic text of the Jews. So, they have all these heresies. And these heresies are making merchandise of the Lord's people. And one of the key heretics that has done this in the 20th century is none other than Billy Graham. But before I get into him and read you some high points of the classic work on Billy Graham, if you don't have it for your library, you got to get it. It's written by Dr. Kathy Burns. She lives here in Pennsylvania. I think she's still alive. And she wrote the book, Billy Graham and His Friends. It is a masterpiece work. That's my final answer to Billy Graham. Just pick up that book off my shelf, check up what I need to find. There it is. Quote it, and I'm on my way. Wonderful tool for you, dear brethren. Get it. Billy Graham and His Friends. Billy Graham was no Christian. He was no saved man. And anybody who calls the Pope of Rome the greatest moral leader in the world is obviously serving the devil. And why wouldn't he? Because he was a high-level 33rd degree Freemason, busy serving the Jesuit order for the purpose of destroying the Counter-Reformation and our wonderful white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist American culture and civilization, and driving it to desperation and breaking the middle class and bringing us all back to the Pope's Dark Ages. And if you're going to serve the Pope, why, you deserve to be in poverty. If you're going to serve Rome, my friend, you deserve to be poor. And the only Roman Catholics that are rich are the super-rich papal knights, like John J. Raskob, who was the one who had control of all the DuPont fantastic fortune that the DuPonts had. Because he ran DuPont during World War I. The Pope ran DuPont. DuPont's historically Protestants. The Jesuits took him over with John J. Raskob and others. So, I want to first of all give you the big picture. And I think I'm going to be doing this more often because we hear good sermons, good historical renditions, but it's not taken back to the foundation of where this came from and where it's all going. And it started in Babylon, it's going to end in Roman Babylon. Because the papacy is nothing more than Babylon with another garb, Rome with another garb. It has nothing to do with Christianity. Well, there are some saved Roman Catholics, like Erasmus and some others, but the whole institution of Romanism has nothing to do with Bible-based Christianity, as Luther so wonderfully proved. It was a chase for men's souls, that's what he called it. Just this very same Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, who, by the way, never wrote on the Jews and their lies. And you show me an original copy of that was ever published in 1543, and I want to see some dating method on that paper. You prove it, because I know he never wrote it. It's not his theology. It is not his belief. It is not his manner of writing. It was those filthy Jesuits and all their vicious hatred that wrote that. It's another forgery of the papacy. Done the Jews in their lives, just like the donation of Constantine. Another forgery of the papacy. They're the greatest liars in the world. So, we see here that, first of all, Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the prince and power of the air. Satan has a throne. And from that throne, I maintain that, well, I'm sure he has a connection to the Vatican there. Malachi Martin, the ex-Jesuit, said Satan took over the Vatican. Well, Satan had taken over the Vatican for centuries before that. Well, we know Satan is the accuser of the brethren. I don't believe he ever leaves heaven. He's there before God the Father, accusing those of us who sin. Look what he did. Look what he did. You think he's saved? And the Lord Jesus Christ is our advocate. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. But Satan is there, busy accusing the brethren day and night, while consorting with his powerful demons and powerful spiritual wickedness, because they're all given certain responsibilities which they must report back to him so he can manage his mystery of iniquity. Satan's the god of this world. God isn't the god of this world. All authority has been given to Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth, Matthew 28, verse 18. But he's not the god of this world system. He's not the god of this world system that has the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life. That's all that's in the world, 1 John chapter 2. That's not of Christ. So he's not the god of this world system. Satan is. Christ is the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, and he worketh all things after the counsel of the Father. That's why he always pleases the Father, no matter what he does. As he sits at his Father's right hand and has wonderful fellowship with him as they're working out the counsel of the Father through Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, the one triune God, working out the counsel of Jehovah, not Yahweh, Jehovah or Jehovah. If you're an English speaker, Jehovah. If you're a Hebrew, Yahweh, or Jehovah. Look what I did. Jehovah. So, what we have here is Satan then has a system. He has his mystery of iniquity, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And in his system, he works through men to bring about his counsel, just as God works through men to bring about his counsel. You see, that's why it's very important that we have a body. Because God's not working anything apart from doing it through the bodies of his people or working it through the bodies of others, because he's able to make the wrath of man to praise him. But he does it all through the bodies of men and women. I don't use the word human. They're bodies of man. Women is part of man. Woman is part of man. Hence, when I refer to mankind, it includes womankind. They're in a subordinate capacity because they were created for the benefit of man. For the benefit of Adam, Eve was created. Not vice versa, all you feminists. So, Satan has a system of mankind, and it's presently headed up in Rome. When the Roman Empire went underground with Damasus, the first in the fourth century, that's when the Pope put on a religious costume. That's when the Roman Caesar put on a religious costume. He's no more Caesar. He won't be called that openly, but he'd be called the Pope, the Papa. And every Pope is a Roman Caesar. I prove that to you in my PowerPoint that I have offered for you for a gift of 25 Federal Reserve notes off my website. Every pope is a Roman Caesar. And I have one quote from a particular work where he says, I am emperor. The pope is the emperor of Rome. He's the king of Rome. In fact, there's a throne in Rome called the throne of the king of Rome that the pope sits on. The Pope is a sovereign in the law. He cannot be sued. He's not just a mere religious leader. He's a political sovereign as much as Charles III or any of these other sovereigns. And so Satan has his Roman Caesar, his papal Roman Caesar, what I call him. And there, overseen by the Jesuit order, Satan brings about his council through the Roman papacy. Remember, the Roman Caesar had what was called the Praetorian Guard. It was a bodyguard around him. The one who oversaw the bodyguard was called the Praetor. And the bodyguard always dressed in black. And you can even see him portrayed in the movie with Russell Crowe called The Gladiator. Towards the end of the movie, the Praetorian Guard surrounds the Caesar, all dressed in black armor. And the Praetor is the one in charge. And the Praetor in charge of the Praetorian Guard decides which Caesar is going to live and which Caesar is going to die. And it's the same way with the Jesuit general today. He decides if the Pope is going to live or if the Pope is going to die. For example, 1978, you have the poisoning of Pope John Paul I on orders of the Jesuit general because he thought, the Pope thought he was the Pope. It's like Kennedy thought he was the president. Not so, not so fast there. Into you. You'll do what we tell you to do, boy, not what you want to do. Unless you have some help from God and the power of the Spirit of God on your side, then you have a chance. And the Spirit of God can intervene for you and protect you. But if you don't and you're busy, unsaved, serving the devil, you have no protection whatsoever. And they'll terminate you if you depart from the plan of Satan's Jesuit Superior General. There's a book that was put out on the killing of Pope John Paul I. It's called When the Bullet Hits the Bone, written by a mafioso, I believe in the Colombo family. A very sinister man. His picture's on the front of the book and the back of the book. Yeah, the Pope runs a mafia. The Jews don't run a mafia. The Ashkenazi Jews don't run the mafia. They are run by the mafia. If you get the book, which Brother John mentioned to me, thank you, Brother John Benson, that's called Super Mob, and it shows you how these Orthodox Jews are busy serving the papal mafia. Get it? Super Mob. So, everyone works together. There's a chain of command through all of this. Nobody's out there on their own trying to fight these other people. They're all working together because if they don't want to work together, they just terminate the leader. Smite the shepherd and the sheep shall be scattered. Satan uses that principle too. So, we have Satan's Jesuit order, his military order, his company, his military order, the Society of Jesus, overseeing the Roman papacy, the popes, the archbishops, the cardinals, or whatever. And with that, in overseeing the papacy, they also oversee high-level Freemasonry. According to Alberto Rivera, the Jesuit Superior General, when he was in 1969, Pedro Arrupe, just happened to be the Jesuit Superior General. And he was a Freemason. When Alberto Rivera went to kiss the ring of the Jesuit General, or a high-ranking Jesuit there, he saw a Masonic ring on his finger. He said it made his blood run cold because he didn't know. The lower Jesuits didn't know that the Masonic Lodge is serving the Jesuit Superior General. And in fact, the Jesuits wrote all your high rites of Scottish Rite Freemasonry, even to the 33rd degree. Yeah. Jabalon, Mahabon, all their little passwords. Terrible. Well, Billy Graham was one of these people. He was one of these Freemasons. He was busy serving the Jesuit Superior General. And we'll see a little bit how he was made known through certain papal agents in this country. So, the Jesuit General is there to make sure that the Pope doesn't get off guard, he doesn't get off track, because the Pope is going to be the Antichrist. And he can't get off track as he did in the 1700s when Pope Clement XIV suppressed the Jesuits with a papal bull, Dominic Acredemptor Noster. It was a bull and not a brief, according to R.W. Thompson in his great work, Footprints of the Jesuits of 1896. 94, 96. So the Jesuits are there to keep the Pope and the hierarchy in order and on track so that when the time comes, he'll be the Antichrist. I have to chuckle. I mean, this war in Gaza that the Jesuits started using Hamas and Benjamin Netanyahu because they worked together. That's why Netanyahu didn't call out any troops to stop these Muslim savages for 7 hours and let 1,300 people get slaughtered. Netanyahu did that on orders of his papal masters in District of Columbia and or New York, the Archbishop of New York City. But he was taking orders, just like those, just like the Masonic Jewish Labor Zionist Likud Zionist government in Israel did when they attacked the USS Liberty in 1967. That wasn't the people of Israel doing that. It was the governors of Israel working for the Pope that did that, to, in the end, use that to justify anti-Jewish fury here in America, among other things. So, the Pope is the one in power. There's nobody more powerful than the Pope. I gave some a little advice to some men that I knew in New York. And I said, gentlemen, you don't want to have your case moved to federal district court, because if you do, the U.S. attorney's going to have it dismissed. You got to keep your case in your county court. So you got to get rid of these people that have residences outside of Pennsylvania. I said, listen to this. I said, the man that's the most powerful man in New York is the Archbishop of the political capital of the world, Timothy Cardinal Dolan, the Superman, the super powerful man of the empire that spoke at Trump's inauguration. What does that tell you about Donald J. Trump? Do you think he's going to make things better here? Oh, maybe he will for a little bit, like Hitler did in Germany. But he's busy serving the Archbishop to bring the whole country into the new right quasi-fascism as Hitler the Austrian did. It's the same game. And the Archbishop of New York controls the banks. He controls Chase. He controls Wells Fargo. Controls all the big banks. He controls them through his knights, his Jamie Dimons and others. He controls them through men that run BlackRock and these other massive corporations. The papists run these things. Like John Rappaport, he reports on some wonderful things, but he ain't going nowhere near the Knights of Malta or the Archbishop of New York. It might get serious then if you do that. Like life and death serious. So, the Jesuits are using the Freemasonic Lodge to destroy the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant and Baptist middle class, as well as the others that joined the middle class after that. Because you can't have a middle class and return to the Dark Ages. The Dark Ages for 1,000 years, from 606 to 1648, had no middle class in Europe. Those white people were poor. They lived in hovels. They were blacksmiths and workers and just barely had enough to get along. And the ones who had all the money were the lords and the priests. They had all the money. They had the education. Everybody was regarded as their serf. There was no middle class, no freedom of speech, no freedom of press. You know why? Because the Bible wasn't in the hands of the common man. And there is no such thing as freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, and freedom of the press without the Bible, the Reformation, AV 1611 Bible, in the hands of the people of that nation. Never going to happen. So, when you see these rundown people and they're poverty-stricken, just ask, are they reading the King James Bible? Are they reading the Bible as a result of the Protestant Reformation that was translated into their language, whether it's French or Spanish or Russian or whatever? Are they reading that Bible or are they not? And the answer is going to be no. Well, now you know why they're poverty-stricken. Now you know why Catholic nations are poor. Now you know why Muslim peoples are poor. Now you know why the Asian communist peoples are poor. The only ones that have money are the rulers, the dictators, the nobles, the lords. They're the ones that have the money, and they use it against us. Because the last thing they want is any revival or return to biblical truth and the Word of God, that God would bless us financially, we can spend our money on doing good and resisting them. So that's what they are doing right now. Well, just a second. I want to get my phone off, and it's not going off for me. So hold it just a second. Off, slide to go off. Maybe throw it in the trash. How about that one? So that's what happens when the papacy takes over. There's no middle class. So how are we going to do it here in America? Well, why don't we just do away with protective tariffs? Yeah, we're all equal. We want everybody to be equal. I want a chance. And the Americans, they can't be wealthy, and me not wealthy. I have a chance to be wealthy. So, you know, what we do, we'll have a GATT, a treaty that Bill Clinton signed into office, advocated by Nina Malta and Kennedy assassin Lee Iacocca, NAFTA and GATT. And so, that will destroy protecting tariffs that will protect our domestic manufacturers. You got to have tariffs to protect your domestic manufacturers. But when the slaves in China make their stuff, and the slaves in Africa, if they're making anything, if they're making stuff and they're sending it here, it's for peanuts, and it undersells what we make here. So if you're going to sell your shoes that it takes you $5 to make, and you're going to sell them here in this country, where we're going to jack up a tariff on them, about $100. So instead of selling them for $5, we'll sell them for $105. And so those shoes are going to compete with ours that we have here. That's right. It's called protective tariffs. And without protective tariffs, you don't have a manufacturing base. And without a manufacturing base, you don't have the ability to make war, because you have to have a manufacturing base to produce weapons and guns and bombs and whatever you got to produce for the war, for the defense of your country. Trump wants to raise the tariffs. Good for him, man. That's what McKinley did. That's what got him killed. McKinley raised tariffs and became a blessing. President Andrew Jackson, he did three things. He restored hard money, gold and silver coin. He did away with the central bank, the Bank of the United States, and he erected protective tariffs. And in his presidency, that's the only time when this country was in the black. Oh, that's a racist statement, but it's a good statement. Yeah, it's the only time when the country was in the black and out of debt. There's the use of the word black for good. Okay? My listeners who might be hateful, racist blacks who hate white people. Going on. They want to do away with the middle class. They also want to do away with the white race. John Coleman writes about it in his book, Committee of 300, where they're set out to destroy the white race nations. Even he said it in his book, The Committee of 300. Why? Because it's white nations that broke the temporal power of the Pope. The Netherlands, England, Scotland, Denmark, Sweden, Norway, Finland, America, Canada, Australia, South Africa, Rhodesia, all these nations had broken the temporal powers of the Pope. Great Britain, broken the temporal power of the Pope. The ones spreading the gospel to the ends of the earth with the AV 1611 Bible in their commerce and trade. No wonder God blessed their commerce and trade. So no, we have to destroy the middle class, and in addition to that, we have to race mix these white people out of existence. That's why if anybody's against race mixing and miscegenation, why, you're a racist and a prejudice and you're bigoted. That's what they call me all the time. You're a racist, Phelps. Why? Because I don't believe in blacks marrying whites and whites marrying blacks. I never said that there aren't any beautiful black women, because there are. There are a whole lot of them. And they're handsome black men, but black men are for black women. White men are for white women. The Lord created the races and the different sexes of each race. I don't see the gooses, those Canadian snow geese mating up with these other geese that are part black and white. I don't see those white geese race mixing there. Nature itself teaches certain things. Even though they're the same species, they don't mix. And so it should be with us. We don't mix. But oh no, the devil's got to have everybody race mixing. To mulattoize and to mongrelize the United States and Canada and England and Scotland, so all you have are a bunch of mongrelized, demoralized people that could never ever stand up and fight their way against the papacy. They don't have the intellect to do it. Because whites are different than blacks. We do have a higher intellect than blacks. Blacks have a higher physical capacity. If they eat our white food, our white man's manufactured food, because blacks in Africa, they're weak. They don't have the health that blacks here would have. So, we're different. We have our different abilities. So if you race mix and miscegenate the white people, we have an offspring that's not as smart as their fathers and their mothers, and so therefore not able to intellectually resist the white power structure that never race mixes. Where's King Charles' black wife? Where's she, huh? They don't do it. Because to maintain their intellectual supremacy, they stay within their race. Can't do that for the white nations. Got to race mix them. Got to have a black man with a white woman everywhere. This is part of the damnable heresy that there's no difference in the races and where all the only difference is just the color of your skin. Oh, really? Well, they got some nappy hair and we have straight hair. That's a difference. They have flaring nostrils and we don't. They have larger appendages and we don't. There's a it's different completely in the racial makeup. It's not just the melanin in the skin. That's nonsense. It's a lie. So they get us to believe these lies. Damnable heresies. And then they're going to teach us why we shouldn't have any nations. There shouldn't be anything like nations with languages and borders. And that's why they put out their little movie, The Matrix, with Neo as he ends it there and says, there's coming a world with no borders and no limitations. And I said, there you go, Keanu Reeves, busy serving the Pope with that philosophy of The Matrix and the risen Horus, the actual risen Pope of Rome, who's going to be invincible. That's what that movie was about. So, all these damnable heresies intending to destroy white Anglo-Saxon Protestant Western civilization. And then what we'll also do, you just mind if I rant today, I think it's going to be a rant. You mind if what we'll do, we're going to bring in all these Mexicans, and we're going to bring in all these Hondurans, and we're going to bring in all these South Americans here. We're going to bring them up here because they deserve a higher standard of living. They can't come in here. They can't come in here without a visa. Oh, they're going to refuse. They're going to have real, true biblical United States immigration, lawful immigration again. But they just can't keep flooding in here. You let people flood in your house? You let just a stranger come in your house and help yourself to a gallon of milk that you got in there, huh? I bet you say if some stranger was entering your house, you'd try to stop him. Why, you bigot! You're so vicious. You should let these people come into your house and do anything they want. Because that's what they're doing here. Tens of thousands of crimes every day by these savage Hispanic invasers, which is now 40, 50 million of them here. Illegally. 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 And they are not. They're not immigrants. They're illegal invaders. But the press, the Jesuit press, is sure not to call them that because then the president would have the right to call out troops to stop them, which I would have done years ago. And I don't need to build a wall. I just put my army down there and they start coming through no man's land and start shooting them. Shoot them like the dogs that they are. That's right, the dogs that they are. You want to invade my country, I'm going to kill you. I like when I was listening to the Prime Minister of Poland. He was asking, what about these Muslims that come in here? And they try to get in here illegally. He said, we shoot them like the dogs they are. That's right. That's right. If you don't pull the weeds, the grass isn't going to grow. And you'll have a great big weed patch. Worthless. Good for nothing. One day. So, we have these secret society members that are doing this. I was listening to a broadcast with Chris Pinto. He has a broadcast called Noise of Thunder. And one of the last ones he did had to do with this invasion of these illegals. And that it's the Reconquista. Well, that's exactly what it is, Brother Chris. It's a Reconquista. The Jesuits bringing these Hispanics here to take it away from the white people who had the ability to resist the Pope's white power structure. Because these Hispanics can't do it. They don't have the brains or the history of doing it. The closest ones that ever came to doing it, Costa Rica expelled the Jesuits in, 1880, and Mexico expelled them in 1873. But it didn't last long. They just brought in a couple of wars and killed a million people in Mexico with the Cesarist Rebellion, and then we're going to put back our dictators in Mexico. That's what they do. That's what the Jesuits do. That's what the military order does. So, in addition to this, they destroy nationalism. We're gonna tear down all of your historical monuments, and we are going to give you a no history. Isn't that what the Taliban did in Iran or one of those countries in Iraq? They destroyed some of the old Persian artifacts there. That ought to be a capital offense. You destroy an artifact of a country, you get to die. If you tear down those statues of those white Southern men, you get to die. I know what I'd have done in Richmond, man. I'd have got about, if I was a sheriff, I'd have deputized about 500 men. I tell you, you need to disperse. You spray paint those statues. We're going to kill you! We're going to kill you! And just like there's some white men up here in Pennsylvania, when those savage communist libtards came up here to try to destroy some statues of Lee and some of those places, some of the guys at Gettysburg, they came up with their guns. They came up with their AR-15s. And you want to do this? We're going to kill you. I know one of them. That's right. If the park rangers aren't going to do it, then somebody else has to do it. How dare they think they're rangers maintaining the peace and protecting the property when they're not donning their guns and say, you come any farther and you want to destroy these statues here of our glorious history, so southern and northern, we're going to kill you. And you can take all your Southern Poverty Law Centers and all your ACLU Masonic Jewish attorneys. No, we're not going to hear anything in your Pope's federal district courts because they're run by judges that are commies. These federal district judges are communists. They hate your guts. They're not liberal. They're commies. They're socialist communists, and they hate you, white man, who read the Bible. They hate you. I've been before six of them here in Pennsylvania, one in Allentown. That's right. That's their military jurisdiction. Emergency war powers, military jurisdiction that none of them denied. But they won't talk about it. And that's another thing. The Jesuits bring in their damnable heresies, corrupt our wonderful white Anglo-Saxon Protestant history. That, by the way, you can probably get the best rendition of our history from Chris Pinto's recent work, The True Christian History of America. You got to get it, by Adelin Films. The True Christian History of America. Did a wonderful job. Between his that and American Jesuits, those two works that he did are earth-shaking and foundational, and you all need them, you all need to get them, you need to watch them. You need to watch them over and over again. But oh no, the Jesuits want to take your history now, boy. How dare you think you're entitled to your own language? ¿Cómo está? Bien, bien. Hey, you want to speak Spanish on the phone? Just press 1. I don't want to speak Spanish on the phone! I want to speak English on the phone! If I want to speak Spanish, I'll move to Mexico and speak Spanish on the phone. This is English-speaking America. If you come here, you immigrate here, you learn the language, and you speak the language, and you take your driver's test in the English language. There ain't no Spanish test. Shouldn't be Spanish test for anything. I go to these Monopoly stores like Lowe's and others, and they got the signs in Spanish and the signs in English. I never forget, I complained about that one time when I was applying to a passport with this little Irish Catholic punk named Tom Gray, who was there in Philadelphia, and I complained to him about everything's in Spanish. They're advertising in Spanish. He said, so why don't you do something about it? I said, why don't you do something about it? You were Secretary of State. So we got a little heated up argument, and he lied to me, and he said he had issued my passport, and he just wanted to get there to interrogate me. And then finally he gave up and says, here, you're going to go get your passport, you apply for it, you got to walk down the street here and go to there. I said, thank you, Mr. Gray. I should have said, thank you, Mr. Irish Roman Catholic Lion Gray, because that's what you are! You put these Irish Catholics in the government, they're going to lie, they're going to cheat, they're going to steal, especially if they know you're a Protestant or a Baptist and a Calvinist, God forbid. Yeah. You just check it out. Open your eyes and see the connection. Damnable heresies that we're all equal. We are equal. We're equal in Adam and equally condemned. And once we're in Christ, we're equal there, equal in our salvation, equal in our justification, of course. But as far as speaking as men, no, we're not all equal and we're not all the same. And we produce different cultures and we have different abilities. And when the devil wants to mix it all up, to have one great big soup of mulattoism and mestizoism and you name it, you got a population that are easy to control, and make sure you give them plenty of pornography so they get addicted to that, then they can't even think anymore. Yeah. What's going on? Now we're going to deal with Billy Graham. this sinner. And I want you to hear from what I read to you in a book called, I'll just go get it. We find in the book written by our dear brother in Christ, Jim Shaw, and he wrote this book called The Deadly Deception, and it was published in 1988 by Tom C. McKinney. Huntington House, Lafayette, Louisiana. Well, here's what Jim Shaw wrote about this, and it wasn't long after till he was killed. He was killed, as the blacks would say. He was killed, and here is what he wrote on page 102 and following. Interviewed, and this is when he took his right 33rd degree in Washington, D.C., where Albert Pike's statue was. It's that it's sheerly Egyptian. And here's what we read when after he had taken his initiation of 33rd degree, and this was right after he was saved, given all the Lord. Page 102. Interviewed by the Supreme Council. The first day was devoted to registration, briefings, and interviews. We were called into one of the offices at one at a time and interviewed by three members of the Supreme Council. The Supreme Council. When my turn came, I was ushered into the office and seated. The very first question I was asked was, quote, "Of what religion are you?" Unquote. Not long before this, I would have answered with something like, quote, "I believe the ancient mysteries, the old religion," unquote, "and I believe in reincarnation," unquote. However, without thinking at all about how to answer, I found myself saying, "I am a Christian," quote unquote. Then, to my surprise and others, I asked of them, "Are you men born again?" The man in charge quickly stopped me by saying, "We're not here to talk about that. We are here to ask you questions." After, they sent me back out and I sat down and thought about it. When the next man came out, I asked him, "Did they ask you if you were a Christian?" He said, "Yes, they did." "What did they tell and what did you tell them?" I asked, and he replied, "I told them, hell no, and I never intend to be." Then he said a strange thing to me. Quote, "They said I'm going higher," unquote. And he left through a different door looking pleased. That's 33rd degree Scottish Rite Freemason, folks. This is what Billy Graham was. We read. Concerning his initiation, page 104. Prominent men took part. Quote, "There were some extremely prominent men there that day for his initiation, including a Scandinavian king, two former presidents of the United States, an internationally prominent evangelist, two other internationally prominent clergymen, and a very high official of the federal government, the one who actually presented me with a certificate of the 33rd degree. Yeah. Some made only brief appearances, others stayed much longer. However, they didn't do much mixing or socializing with us, except for those whom they already knew. Even though these celebrities weren't extremely, quote-unquote, brotherly, it was still quite an experience for me just to be associated with them. It is easily the largest gathering of such prominent, influential men of which I have ever been a part. But notice what he says. He says a Scandinavian king was there. Now, this is probably the King of Sweden. Two former presidents of the United States. Well, one of them was probably Jimmy Carter, because this takes place in the 1980s. And then he goes on and says, an internationally prominent evangelist. He was told not to put Billy Graham in this book by his publisher, but he confessed to Jack Chick of Chick Publications that that international evangelist was Billy Graham. 33rd degree. Yeah. So this is the 33rd degree Billy Graham as fingered by the great Jim Shaw in his book, The Deadly Deception. And Kathy Burns in her books, Billy Graham and His Friends, says that he's a 33rd degree Freemason. Now, I want to tell you of some of the relations that he had with these men, who the men of power were. First of all, Billy Graham is ultimately made great by the influence of a Masonic Jew named Bernard Baruch. But what you're not told about Bernard Baruch, what I discovered from the works of Thomas Watson, senator from Georgia in 1912, he was called the Sage of Hickory Hill. He said that Bernard Baruch was the lieutenant of, at the time, in the 19-teens, one of the most powerful men on Wall Street, and that was Thomas Fortune Ryan, a Roman Catholic, and you can read about him in the book, Real Lace by Manchester, America's Irish Rich. Thomas Fortune Ryan was the boss of the Masonic Jew, Bernard Baruch. Bernard Baruch, it was intimately involved with Henry Luce. Henry Luce was a Knight of Malta and the owner of Time, Life, and other magazines, Fortune. It's Bernard Baruch and Henry Luce that will begin to give Billy Graham, 33rd degree Billy Graham, notoriety. In Dr. Kathy Burns, Billy Graham and His Friends, page 41, we read concerning Henry Luce. She writes, another one of Graham's friends is Henry Luce. Now remember, as I've taught you in my book, Vatican Assassins, Henry Luce purchased a Zapruder film for $150,000 from Abraham Zapruder. Then they took it to Rockefeller Center there in New York, where the CIA doctored the film, removed a couple slides so that you didn't see the driver doing the shooting or the storm drain shooter doing the shooting. We have to cover all that up. So they doctored the film. Henry Luce was behind that. Powerful Knight of Malta, in control of Time magazine, and Time put out the cover story that Oswald was the assassin. And the stupid American people believed the press, just as they do today, believing the press. Like Donald J. Trump, with his attempted assassination in Butler, PA. Oh, and the bullet just barely missed his head, and it hit his ear, and oh, his hand came up, and when the hand came down, there wasn't any blood on it. It was faked. The Secret Service agent put the blood on his ear. So he comes up with this blood dripping down a little bit and fight, fight, fight! Like he's some sort of a macho man here now who's going to lead the American people to victory from all these progressives that the Jesuits control just as much as they control the right. It's good cop, bad cop. Joe Biden, bad cop. Trump, good cop. They control them both because they're both a couple of Catholics busy serving the Pope. And don't tell me Trump is not Roman Catholic. If you're backed by the Archbishop of New York, you're Catholic, man, no matter if you call yourself a Norman Vincent Peale, 33rd degree Freemason, Protestant, Presbyterian. And his Roman Catholic wife. Good cop, bad cop. And so here we have Henry Luce, that was a friend of Billy Graham. And when they killed Kennedy, Billy Graham was in on the cover-up. Billy Graham was in on the cover. I'm sure his son Franklin knows all about it. One day in 1950, while Graham was staying at the governor's mansion in South Carolina with the governor, Strom Thurmond, who was another 33rd degree Freemason, he received a call saying that Henry Luce wanted to come and spend a few days with him. According to Billy, he said that it appears as though Bernard Baruch was reading his sermons out of a newspaper which carried them. Bernard Baruch was a Masonic Jew. He was Bernard Baruch. We're all Masonic brothers, okay? After which he contacted Henry Luce. Luce had already been carrying articles about Graham in his magazines and Time Life. After he heard Graham, he was even more supportive of Graham's ministry and did a feature article for Life magazine. Graham said that an enduring friendship, quote-unquote, was born after meeting Luce. This Henry Robinson Luce, this liar, this controller of the press, this wife of his, Claire Booth Luce, who was made ambassador to Italy by Eisenhower, Dame of Malta, huh? So he goes on and says, Luce's magazines include People, Life, Fortune, Money, and Sports Illustrated. His board of directors included several members of the Council on Foreign Relations. Council on Foreign Relations put together by the papacy, by the Archbishop of New York, 1921. This is how the Archbishop of New York runs the executive branch of the government, through the Council on Foreign Relations. Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. If you do not believe in conspiracy, you know nothing, you will never know anything, and you will never have any effect of the evil, wicked things being done here, because you do not believe the papacy is the heart and soul of Satan's conspiracy, his mystery of iniquity. Any mystery of iniquity is a conspiracy. It goes along page 42. Lewis was a graduate of Yale and belonged to Skull and Bones, class of 1920, the Council on Foreign Relations, and the Knights of Malta. Well, Lewis was a key man, a key figure here. He's a Knight of Malta, high in Wall Street, personal bosom buddies with the Archbishop of New York City, who at this time would be Francis Cardinal Spellman. Trained by Jesuits at the American College in Rome to control the American Empire for the Pope. That would include overseeing the attack on the USS Liberty in 1967. That's right. Francis Cardinal Spellman oversaw that. So we see Luce was key to this. Luce was also influential on the Warren Commission with 33rd degree Freemason Earl Warren. And they're going to kill a member of the Warren Commission who had to be a Roman Catholic. That's right. Hale Boggs. They killed him. Because he said Oswald didn't shoot anything. All right, Hale, Roman Catholic, Knight of Columbus. You're deviating. That's right. We'll do the same thing with Tim Russert on Meet the Press. Well, Tim, you're going after the Skull and Bones, John Kerry and George Bush. That's, and you can die in the newsroom. Tim Russert. This is how it works, folks. Now, there's John Foster Dulles. Dulles, he's another one. John Foster Dulles was a good friend of Billy Graham. John Foster Dulles had a son. His name was Avery. And Avery Dulles became a Jesuit priest. And he later on became a cardinal. And he later on became a professor at Fordham University. Avery Dulles was connected with his uncle's CIA, Alan Dulles, who ran the CIA for some time before Kennedy got rid of him. They're Jesuits and Freemasons. Satan's mystery of iniquity. And Billy Graham was up to his eyes in it, calling the Pope the greatest moral leader in the world. Billy Graham, the friend of all these Catholics, he was given the papal mantle at, what was it, that particular college, it starts with a B, Belmont. Belmont Abbey. Yeah, why, those priests gave him the yoke of Rome and put that thing around his neck, and Graham's got his face up like he's being endowed from heaven. That sinner. Compromising sinner. Betrayer of white men of the South. And yet you talk to any Southern Baptist, they'll tell you he was a wonderful man, he was a great evangelist. Southern Baptists, are you out of your minds? Southern Baptists, don't you know there's 1,000, what was it, 1,000,000 Freemasons in the Southern Baptist Convention alone? Is it any wonder why you're slowly becoming Catholic, SBC? Is it any wonder why it's just a degeneration of meeting and committees and moving and we have little ministries here and there? There's no fiery preaching out of your pulpits because you're all compromised with the Pope of Rome and his secret societies. Any New Testament church will not allow anybody to be a member of a secret society, ever, and be a member of the church. When I went to Baptist Bible College, it was General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. They had a confession of faith, and there are no Freemasons involved with us or in any churches, and they were right. It just went apostate. You know why? Because they embraced Westcott and Hort Greek text with Bruce Metzger's third edition of the critical text, which they handed to us in Greek class. And then, so they departed from the King James Bible. And then once you do that, then everything starts to go to hell in a handbasket. And that's exactly what happened there. And Clark is now Clark Summit University. I know the president, Jim Lytle. He was in the School of Theology while I was in Bible College. No longer Baptist, because it's a sin to be Baptist, real Baptist, because that's separate from the Protestants and the Catholics. And you couple Calvinism, true Calvinism, with that, that all the Baptist churches at the time of the American Revolution, except a few, were Calvinistic, and you got a problem. Now they can accuse you of being a racist or a sexist or a bigot. So we got to take Baptists out of it. There's a little Baptist church I used to go here in Myerstown. It took the name Baptist out of it. It's just Christian Fellowship. Give me a break! I don't want to be part of any Christian fellowship. I want to be part of a Baptist, Calvinistic, historical church that preaches the gospel and that also contends with Rome and the Pope. I don't know. We have to all go along to get along. And it's just Billy Graham that facilitated the building of the National Council of Churches with their heretical version in 1952, the English Revised Perversion that took the virgin birth out of Isaiah 7:14. And so we're just going to go ahead and we're going to get along and go along and we'll be friends with the Pope and his priests. That's right. So when they get the opportunity, they can cut our throats from ear to ear. They can give us fire in the sword. Maybe that's what the medical inquisition is. Fire in the sword. Cut, burn, drug. Yeah, the medical inquisition. Fire in the sword. So, you got John Foster Dulles, Henry Luce, all of them friends of Billy Graham, and John Foster Dulles just happened to be a friend of Joseph Stalin, along with Averell Harriman. Averell Harriman of the Bowensman Knight of Malta went to USSR to help Joseph Stalin govern when Stalin got sick. All a bunch of Bowensmen. You got to get the book by Anthony Sutton, Skull and Bones, America's Secret Establishment. Get it. Read it. Wasn't long after that he died. Oh, but that's a coincidence, isn't it? He just happened to die after he wrote that tremendous book. Wake up! There's a conspiracy, and it's so thick you can't even see it. It's like the darkness of blackness of night when it's so dark you can't see your hand in front of you. That's the strength of this papal conspiracy now. And it's going to take Bible-believing, born-again preachers to break it. Filled with the Spirit of God. Is that you, my friend? Is the Lord calling you to preach against this sin and to live a righteous life and to trust the Lord to forgive you when you do sin? We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's time to get serious about serving God because this place is ready to fall into the hands of the papacy and they have their perfect man to do it, Donald J. Trump. They prepared him for years. They built up this leftist, socialist, communist left with all these sickening, evil, wicked, spiritual bastards grilling Kennedy in his confirmation. What do you got? You got the Masonic Jew, Bernie Sanders. You got another couple of Masonic Jews in there. You got a couple of papal knights in there. They're drilling him and the Radical Democratic Party, further creating more sympathy for the new right. That's why they're doing it. Attributing the things the Kennedy Jr. said that he never said. It's just typical. Typical. And they're pulling out all the stops to drive the white men of this country to unification and into ultimate rage and to join up with the new right. And when martial law is declared, well, I'll volunteer and we'll get all these leftist socialist communists and the majority savage blacks and these Muslims that are here and these Arabs that are here and the homosexuals, I got to get all them. I mean, they're doing that. They're successfully doing it. And the question is, are you going to fall for it? What church do you go to? What fellowship are you a part of? If you're a part of any fellowship that's departed from the Reformation Bible, you're in sin. If you're in fellowship with any church that believes man has a complete and total free will to believe the gospel and he'll do it, there are people that believe the gospel of their own free will. You're in sin. The ones who are saved are predestined unto salvation. God giving us the faith to believe once we wanted to believe and upon hearing the true gospel. It's predestination versus free will. It's the Calvinists versus the Jesuits. And by the way, it was the father of the English Bible, William Tyndale, who was a Calvinist. Did you know that? It was the one who called for the writing of a new Bible with King James I, with when John Reynolds approached him. He was a Puritan and a Calvinist. There is no Reformation Bible without Calvinism. You know, all it gets is a bad rap. And all these stupid Baptists hate Calvin. Without Calvin, there is no John, there's no Oliver Cromwell, there's no John Knox, there's no George Washington. Time to repent, my Baptist brethren, and stop repeating that Ruckman heresy that Calvin was such an evil, wicked man. We believe a whole bunch of lies. And it's time we put them off, believe true history, believe what the scripture says, align ourselves with little local New Testament churches that aren't going to compromise and tell the truth about all these political leaders that are nothing more than a bunch of political whores to the papacy. That's most of them. In District of Catholics, District of Communists, there in D.C. Well, now you know about Billy Graham. I trust this was edifying to you. With Eric John Phelps, 24/7 World Radio Podcast, please send your gifts to RBT, P.O. Box 306, Newmanstown, Pennsylvania, 17073. Or you can cash at me at Eric, E-R-I-C, John, J-O-N, Phelps, P-H-E-L-P-S. Send a gift through Cash App. I'd love to receive that. Or you can give it through PayPal, which is RBPBDonate, RBPBDonate at Comcast.net. Appreciate all your gifts and your prayers. Lastly, I appreciate your prayers 2 minutes a day, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That the Lord would bless this ministry, and that I would be used to bless you in your growing in faith and strength in the Lord Jesus Christ. By the power of the Spirit of God, pray that I get more contributors on my podcast, radio podcast, for your edification. And may the Lord bless and do what seemeth good to him. So until we meet again, Lord bless. Maranatha.